Little Philip, who had been born with Down syndrome, was part of a Sunday school class of third graders along with several classmates. Typical of that age, the children didn't readily accept Philip and his differences, but due to a creative teacher, they began to care and accept Philip as part of the group, but not completely. After Easter, the teacher bought some leg pantyhose containers, you remember those, for her class. And she brought them and gave each one of the kids one with the following assignment. They were to go outside on that lovely spring day, find some symbol of new life, and put it in the leg's container. Back in the classroom, they would share their new life symbols, opening their container one by one in surprise fashion. Surrounded by the children, the teacher began to open up their containers one by one. After each one, whether a flower or a butterfly or a leaf, the class would all ooh and ah in unison. Then one was opened, revealing nothing inside. The children exclaimed, "That's stupid. That's not fair. Somebody didn't do their assignment." Philip spoke up, "That's mine." "Philip, you don't ever do things right," the students retorted. "There's nothing there." "I did so do it," Philip insisted. "I did do it. It's empty. The tomb was empty." Silence followed. From then on, Philip became a full member of the class. He died soon after that from an infection that many of his classmates would have been able to fight off. At the funeral, the class of 8-year-olds marched up to the altar, not with flowers, but with their teacher, and each one laid an empty pantyhose egg on his coffin. What a powerful, powerful story. A container just like this that each student looked at differently. And today, Philip has a powerful message for each one of us, and that is, the tomb was empty. There was nobody in the tomb. I'll leave that right there for right now. If you want to see Premier Lenin, you can visit his body in a mausoleum in Red Square in Moscow. If you want to see the Prophet Muhammad, you can visit his body, which is buried under a green dome at a mosque in Medina, Saudi Arabia. If you want to go see John Fitzgerald Kennedy, one of the great leaders of our nation, he is buried in Arlington National Cemetery, where an eternal flame marks his place. If you want to visit the Buddha, his body is also found in a grave. When I had the opportunity to be on pilgrimage to Israel with some of the St. John's family a number of years ago, during our time there, there were a lot of different memories that have stayed with me to this present day. But one of the most profound moments for me was when I visited the tomb of Jesus, and his tomb was empty. You know, all the religious leaders, all the religions that we know of today, all of the great political parties and leaders, when you go to visit someone who has passed on, you go to a grave where there is a body. But we are the only faith that proclaim that our leader's tomb is empty because he has risen from the dead. As I stood within that tomb and there was a line of people going out and a line of people coming in, I can only be there a brief moment. But it was a powerful moment. It was timeless. And it reminded me of this powerful truth that we celebrate today, that Jesus has risen from the dead. You know, when the women arrived at the tomb, as you read today in our gospel lesson, they came with spices. And that's because they were going to anoint Jesus' body. They expected to find his body as part of the burial rite of the day. Imagine their surprise on the journey to the tomb as they arrived there, and they met two men in dazzling white clothes, whiter than any Clorox bleach could ever get them, radiant with the glory of heaven. They knew that they were angels. That's why they fell in fear before them, prostrate before them. But I love the question that the angels asked them. It's one of my favorite questions in all of Scripture, and it is simply this: why do you seek the living among the dead? I love that question. And again, it just had to be silent at that moment. Why do you seek the living among the dead? And the angels then began to remind them of some of the things that Jesus had spoke to them right before his crucifixion, how he was going to suffer at the hands of sinful men, how he was going to be crucified and then be raised from the dead. But they didn't get it. And they even didn't get it until they actually saw the risen Jesus Christ. But you know what? The reality is, many people today don't get it. There are philosophical cultures. There are even people in the church, bishops and priests, who don't believe in the virgin birth, let alone believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They believe it is a myth. It is a magical story in order to try to get people to believe. Let me ask you a question. I think it's a very important question as well today. Is your Jesus dead? Like them, like some of those bishops and priests, like some of those political leaders, do you serve a Jesus that is dead? It's characterized by no real relationship. There's no real connection to him. There is no real sense of devotional life or prayer or intimacy or anything like that. There's no real relationship. If that characterizes your relationship with Jesus, I am glad that you are here today. And what I want to invite you to do is that if that characterizes your relationship today, as you come up to the altar, I want you to leave your dead Jesus there. Just plant him there and leave him there. And I want you to begin to consider the possibility that Jesus is alive. Our Redeemer lives. He is alive. He is risen from the grave. And if that is true, it changes everything. It changes all of your choices. It changes your life direction. It changes all that you will do. The tomb was empty because Jesus had risen from the dead. There was a man by the name of Josh McDowell while attending college. He was a committed atheist. Josh was brilliant, an intellectual of intellectuals. And he observed often a Christian group on campus that loved the Lord, that actually believed in the virgin birth and that he had risen from the dead. And he regularly laughed at them and he taunted them. He said, you know, how could you be so ignorant to really believe that Jesus rose from the dead? And he was so incensed by their ignorance and their simpleness and their false joy that he decided to disprove that Jesus rose from the dead. And he set about it. He began to study the ancient manuscripts and the history of the day. He began to read different reports and began to explore this and that and talk to this person and that person. Guess what happened to Josh McDowell after his research? He became a Christian. Because Josh McDowell came to the conclusion, based on the evidence and his intellect, that the only explanation was Jesus had risen from the dead. If you are here today and you are a skeptic, if you cannot intellectually bring yourself to the place to really believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and has risen from the dead, I invite you to read his book. It's called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. I invite you to have the courage to read that book of another skeptic, an atheist, an unbeliever, and his journey to Jesus Christ. Very powerful journey, a life-changing journey. A journey that left him forever changed. You know, there's another thing that you and I need to consider. Jesus had 12 disciples. 11 of them died martyrs' deaths. A lot of these disciples were blue-collar, if you will. They were fishermen. They were in agriculture, things like that. They were very simple men in a way. And yet 11 of them went to die martyrs' death, all of them testifying that they had seen the risen Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but most people, especially common people, down-to-earth people, would not die for a liar, for a fanatic, or for someone that they had robbed his body from the grave. They would not die for that. And again, the only explanation I have is that they saw someone, they saw the risen Jesus who empowered them to go and proclaim, our Redeemer lives. Our Redeemer lives. Hallelujah. Joyce Rupp shares, Easter is about tomb watches. It's about love that keeps vigil and waits and believes in life, no matter how dark, empty, and cold the inner space feels. Easter is about hope that is willing to sit in the tomb while it trusts in transformation. Easter is about faithful companions who keep watch with us as we wait for our inner resurrection. Jesus is alive. He overcame death and the grave. And I want to invite you along with me to begin to embrace the reality of Jesus' resurrection and the difference that it makes for you and me. You know, the reality is, beloved, you and I sometimes spend a lot of time at our tombs. Especially over the past few weeks, we've lost a lot of people. A lot of people have died. I've been a priest for 32 years. I mean, it's even been a lot. You may have lost a loved one or a friend in the past few weeks or over the past year or years. And you know, it's hard to leave that memory in that place, isn't it? My sister Lisa, as a young baby, was in a terrible accident, and she died very young. It was an incredible tragedy for our family. And actually, in a way, our family never, ever recovered from that. It was a blow to us, very deep and powerful. And you know, as I lived out my journey and as I stayed around that tomb, if you will, I was angry at God about it. I was angry that she did not live a longer life. I was upset with God about why could something happen to such an innocent baby and my sister. One day as I was in prayer at my tomb watch, I felt like the Lord came to me in a very gentle and loving way. And he just revealed to me and spoke to me that Lisa's spirit was with him. And she was fine. And his spirit was with her. And they were in heaven. And things were okay. And to receive his peace. At that moment, things changed for me. And I realized the tomb was empty. She was with our Lord. One day her body would be risen again at the resurrection of the dead. And that gave me peace. And he began to give me peace at other places of tombs where I was staying, of friends and loved ones that I had lost. And I was never, ever, ever able to really let go and receive the peace of the Lord in that. You know, there's a great, great teacher in the church right now by the name of Bill Johnson. He has a saying that I love. And that is, Jesus never went to a funeral that he didn't ruin. I love that saying. Jesus never went to a funeral that he didn't ruin. Think about it. Lazarus raised from his tomb. Jesus couldn't even stay in the ground. He was raised from the dead on the third day. And let me tell you something. Jesus ruins every funeral that he goes to. Hallelujah. With his resurrection power and his resurrection life. Are you open to the risen Lord to walk with you to your tomb today, that you might be set free with the knowledge of where your loved one really is? Some of you over the past few weeks and of Lent and during 40 days for him have been involved in worship and prayer and fasting and serving. God has been doing a very deep work in your life. We had a healing mission in January where we had brought somebody in to do works of healing, and God was moving through them. But guess what? God began to move through the people that attended the healing mission. What was God up to? What was God thinking? What God was thinking is, I'm giving my gift of healing to everybody. I'm going to bless you all to bring healing to one another. And this person, for the first time in her life, reached out and, can I touch your shoulder for a moment? Touched the woman next to her because she felt moved to do it. And she felt the power of God move through her, and the person she laid her hands on felt the power of God into her, and there was a healing that took place. And I could tell you story after story where that has happened over the past few weeks, and it's because people are inviting Jesus into their life, into the place where they live, and inviting his resurrection power. Some of you over the past few weeks, Jesus has brought you to the tomb of your sin, a sin that you've struggled with for decades, a sin that you thought, I will never be free from this thing. It's like a monkey on my back. It's like shackles on my hands. I will never be set free. Oh, but you're taking that back now. Because the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings has come into your life in that place and brought resurrection and brought life and brought freedom. Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Let's say it like you mean it. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
Hallelujah.